promised land. Y'all are friendly today. Y'all are hugging people's necks and, man, just all over the place. I'm happy to be here in the house of the Lord. I'm Pastor Will. I'm one of the associate pastors here at Promised Land, and I'm excited to be here. And Pastor Robin was talking about Easter Sunday in 3 weeks, and he's challenged us to invite somebody to come and hear the gospel here. And so we want to do everything we can to get our neighbors here, our friends here. But we also have another challenge for you. We want to challenge you to be a vessel for God to use to build his kingdom. We have a 2020 vision, and one of our vision is to bless the village of Las Joyas, Guatemala. Last year, we dedicated a freshwater well up in the mountains of this village. We've adopted this village. We have prayed for this village. And we were able to go up into this village and dedicate a freshwater well. And let me tell you about this village really quick. They're way up in the mountains. They don't have fresh water. In fact, the water that they do have, they would fight over it with two other villages in the area. There was actually a couple deaths because they were fighting over clean water. Over fresh water. There wasn't enough of it. And last year we got to go and dedicate a well. And when we turned on that faucet, it was like we were turning on a faucet. Everybody was crying. And you made that possible through your giving. You know, the Bible says if you give a cup of cold water in my name, you will no wise lose your reward. Can you imagine if you give a well? And you did that, people. That was amazing. And so we want to continue this. That's all right to clap for the Lord. Yeah. But we want to go further. We want to continue on with the school project for this village. We want people to not have to leave their village. We want a great school right there in that village. We want community to take place in that village. We want the gospel to take place in that village. And so we're looking to you again. I want to say this, God's going to provide. But the thing is, are you going to let God provide through you? Are you going to allow God to use you as a vessel to bless his kingdom, to build his kingdom? God's going to provide. He's going to provide. And we also, there's another reason why we want to give big on Sunday. We have a church that has been planted in Lockhart. And every Sunday morning around 7 a.m., trailers. I want you to know that God has a building in Lockhart, Texas, with Promised Land name on it. God is going to provide a building. Yes, God's going to provide a building. But God's going to do it through us. If we make what God has given us, if we let the resources that God has given us bless the kingdom. So God's going to provide. Will you let him bless the kingdom through you and through your giving? And so this is a different kind of giving. This is an offering. This is a big give. This is a visionary give. And what we want you to do is we want you to pray as a family, talk about it as a family, pray about this. And when we come here on Easter Sunday, let's fully fund that school project. Let's make some headway in building or obtaining a building in Lockhart. Do you believe that God's able to do that? Yes. Amen. I believe it too. Let's give God a hand this morning. Yeah. And so I want to also welcome all of our folks that are watching online this morning. You might be watching this on a Facebook Live. You might be watching this on our website or listening to a DVD or a podcast. But we want you to know that you are part of our family, and we love our online folks. Can we just give our online folks a hand this morning? Yeah. But we're continuing our sermon series. This is week 3 of Soul Soil. That is hard to say. So I've been studying for this sermon, and I can't say it right. Soil. It sounds like you're saying soy sauce. It's really hard to say, but it has such a great message, and we're talking about the condition of our heart. And last week, first week, Pastor Robin kicked off the sermon series, and last week, Thomas brought the word, and I heard he talked about having a black thumb, meaning he kills plants. I want to tell you today that I don't have a black thumb, but I don't have a green thumb either. I have a brown thumb. And what that means is plants come to my house to die a slow, painful death. I'll pick up a plant at Home Depot, and it's like, I'm so sorry to do this to you. You're so pretty. I'm going to kill you and murder you slowly. I don't mean to do it. But I don't know if it's that I don't water them enough or I water them too much. I never know exactly what they want. And so they just start to droop, and they start, I should have took a picture. We've got some plants on our windowsill, and some of them, they look awful. They look hideous. But I want to say this. I have one plant that has stuck with me for 22 years. I got a 22-year-old plant. That's amazing. And this plant has earned its name. It earned the name Lazarus. Because I have killed it 4 or 5 times. In fact, I think I've killed it more than that. And every time I kill it, it's like, Lazarus, come forth, and it comes back alive. And I got a picture of it. I'm not kidding. That's Lazarus. There's proof. So I have a brown thumb, and Lazarus is sticking with me. But this whole sermon series has been great. And we've been talking about the seed and the sower. So if you turn with me in Mark chapter 4 and verse 3. And I want to ask the tech team to give me a countdown on the back screen, because if they don't give me a countdown, I will preach to you for 2 hours. In fact, I preached in Lockhart last week, and I said there's 2 versions of this sermon. There is the 2-hour sermon if you don't preach with me. If you don't preach with me and say amen, I will preach a 2-hour sermon. And we will start in the book of Genesis, verse 1. And we will read the first 5 books of the Bible. And so I asked them, what version of the sermon do you want? What version do you guys want today? Do you want the short one or the long one? All right, we're going to preach the short one today. So let's turn with Mark chapter 4 and verse 3. It said, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on the footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on the shallow soil with the underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. And so the last couple of weeks, we focused on the first 2 soil types. We've talked about the path. The path is that beaten down path that's hard. And when the sower was casting seed, it would land on that hard path. It was like concrete. And that seed would have no place to go. And it talked about the birds of the air just coming and grabbing that seed and taking it away. And the second soil type was the rocky ground. And that was the shallow ground. That was like the inch of topsoil with bedrock underneath. So when that seed would land on that shallow soil, it'd start growing. It was like, yeah, man, it looks good. It's growing up. And then when the cares of life come, when a tough time comes, that seed withers and it dies. And so today we're going to talk about another soil type. We're going to talk about the thorny ground. And if you turn to verse 4 and 7, it said, other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants so that they produced no grain. And so Jesus would use these parables. And these parables were ways that he could explain complicated spiritual things in really simple ways. In fact, he used examples that were in their everyday life. It wasn't a weird sight to see some guy with a bag of seeds throwing seed out and casting seed out. Now, in fact, we've been talking about it. One of us that preached this message needs to get a bag of seed and start throwing seed all over the place. And so it wasn't a weird thing to see somebody casting seed. So he would speak to them on their terms. with things that they that were in their everyday life. They knew what he was talking about because he was wanting that seed or the word to get into their heart. He spoke to them on their level. He would reach their heart because he would talk about something that was familiar to them. And so in the parable, he was talking about the seed being the word of God, and the word being, you know, the word, we talked about the word being the rhema word. The rhema word was a right now, on time word. And I'm just gonna say this. I love that God's word is an on time word. Did you know that God's word is applicable to your life right now? That it's not some 2,000-year-old old dusty book it's not current, but it's absolutely current. It's a right now word. And God has rhema word for us today. He wants to give us a right now word that applies to our life. And you know, the Bible even goes on to say that in Hebrews that it's alive, that it's sharp. That it's able to get down into our heart. It's sharp, it's quick, it's alive. It can go between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It even goes to our motives. And it also, that we also talked about the word being logos. And we mentioned that Jesus was the logos. It said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And so basically Jesus was the logo of the word. He was the word with us. And when Jesus, what was amazing about Jesus is when he would talk to somebody, he'd know their entire history. He knew whether or not the person that was coming up to talk to him wanted to trick him. He knew the person's heart right off the bat. He knew if they were good soil or bad soil. He knew if they were on the path and hard-hearted, or if he knew they were ready to receive his word. And so those are the types of word that God wants to cast to us today. He wants us to receive his word. And so his word is current. But he also talks about the soil. And the soil is the human heart. And there are people in this room today that have a heart like the path. It's tough. If I threw some seed at it, it would bounce right off, bounce right off. There are people in this room that have a soft heart and they're ready and open for God's word. There are people in between. There's probably people on your row that one of you has a soft heart and one of you has a hard heart. But the word is going forth regardless of the heart. And I love that God is merciful and he continues to cast seed today. You see, Lacey on her birthday was up here playing this piano and she was casting out seed with lyrics of a song. And now those weren't just great verses. They just didn't sound good and it was a great melody, but it was biblical. It was the seed. And God continues to cast seed into our life. Sometimes we hear it and sometimes we don't. One of the things that God showed me when I was studying for this lesson is that there are times in our heart that we can have all different kinds of soil types in our life. You know, we might have been a Christian for a long time. And something may have happened in our life where we start to get offended that something happened. And we can harden our heart to God. Or we can trust God with it and allow God to heal us. And there's times that a soft heart can turn hard and a hard heart can turn soft. And so there's all different soil types here today. But Jesus goes on to explain this parable even more. His disciples were like, what does this mean? He goes, even you don't understand this? If you can't understand this, then what can you understand? And so he began to open this parable up to them even more. He said, the seed that fell among the thorns represent others who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of this life. Somebody say, crowded out. All right, y'all want the short sermon. You're preaching with me. But the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. And let me say this. The enemy of our soul, if he can't just, just come in and pluck the word out of our life, like on the path. See, it's easy for him when your heart is really hard, like the path. Because what happens when your heart is hard, like the path, the word just sits there. It's just ready to be scooped up and taken away. But when he can't do that, he resorts to other tactics. If he can't just pluck that word away, he begins to deal with us in different ways. He's got other tricks in his bag. And so my first point is that weeds can kill the seeds. Weeds can kill the seeds. And he uses thorns and weeds. And I want to explain something in biological terms. You know, weeds in a garden, the thing about a weed in a garden is a weed doesn't have to be encouraged. You don't have to say, oh, come on, little dandelion, come on up and ruin my yard. You don't have to, there's no coaxing. You don't have to water weeds. You don't have to do anything. Weeds are just there. And in a garden, man, you can set up everything just perfect. And weeds are like, here I am too. And what happens with weeds is weeds are bullies. Weeds come in and say, this is my territory. Weeds come in and they don't play nice with other things. Weeds come in and take all of the good soil, the good nutrients. It zaps the soil of the nutrients. It takes all the water. It takes all of the cares. Weeds come in and make a garden a mess. And they demand all of the attention. Weeds are bullies. Weeds want all of the attention. And I want to say this. Everyone in here today is hearing the word. The seed is going out today. The seed is going out. But something happens when we leave the church and we go back to life. You know that song? Remember that song from the 80s? Back to life, back to reality. I'm not going to sing it for you. But we get back to life, back to reality. Woo! Okay, sorry. Bring it back. But you know, when we go back to life, when we go back to that job and we've got that boss that we, instead of talking to him, we just want to talk to him. Or we go back to the kids and you just want to, we go back to life and what happens? My kids are good kids. My kids are good kids. But life comes, there's even those insurance commercials that life comes at you fast. Right. You know, life comes at you fast. There's that guy in their insurance commercial, Chaos. But life comes at us. When we leave here, we can hear an amazing message from Pastor Will and then go home and then have the word crowded out of our life. The weeds of life can come back in and crowd out. Take the nutrients, take that word right out of your life. You see, if the enemy can't just pluck it out of your life, he's going to crowd it out of your life. He's going to rob you of your soil. He's going to rob you of your nutrients. He wants everything. He's not done with you until you see death, hell, and the grave. That's what he wants, and that's what he's playing for. And so weeds can kill the seeds. And these are the weeds and the thorns of life, and sometimes it's anxiety. Sometimes, is there any anxious people in here? Are you anxious just because I asked you if you were anxious? Are you nervous? Do your worries grow worries like gremlins? Are you worried about your worries? There's so much anxiousness. There's so much, and I want to tell you this, that I am an anxious person. I'm a naturally anxious person. I want everything to go in the right spot, in the right way, and when it doesn't, I'm like, what is going on here? And so I'm a natural worrier. I can worry the mess out of things. I really can. I can worry. But you know what anxiousness is? Anxiousness is in between fear and trust. It's right in the middle. And while I was studying for this message, I felt like God just dropped something down in my heart. And it was this. Anxiety is a desert between fear and trust where nothing grows. Let me say that again. Anxiety is a desert between fear and trust where nothing grows. You see, in anxiousness, it's neutral. It's like having your car in neutral. You can rev it up. You can stomp on all the pedals, but nothing. You're not going anywhere. And anxiousness is not trusting God. And you're kind of trusting God, but kind of fearful about your situation. Or you're more fearful about your situation than trusting God. Nothing's growing there. And that's where the enemy wants to keep you. He doesn't want you to get traction. He wants to crowd out the word in your life. And there's a word for you today that wants to heal you. There's a word for you today when you come to church, when you hear preaching, when you're reading your Bible, that word is going to save your life. But the enemy wants to crowd it out of your life. He wants to hit you with all the cares of life because he can't just pluck it away. He wants to strangle that word out of your life. He does. And the deal with a worried heart is a hindered heart. It's a preoccupied heart. A worried heart, that when you're worried about all the cares of life, and what about this, what about this, what about this, what about this, you've got to be an accountant to keep all of your worries together. And you're like writing all of your worries down because there's so many of them. And the thing about that is it preoccupies your heart and it crowds out God. It crowds out growth. It crowds out life. And it crowds out peace. I'm preaching to me today. I'm the pot calling the kettle black. But God has a word for us. God has a rhema word for us. God wants his word to go into our life and produce fruit, but the enemy wants to choke it. Mark Twain said this: I have worried over a great many things in life, the most of which have never happened. And honestly, I think all of us on our deathbed, when we're taking our last breaths, I doubt what we're going to say is, I wish I would have worried more. Oh, I should have spent a little more time worrying about everything. No, said no one here. Said no one. But how much time do you worry? How much time do you let everything creep in? And how much time do you really trust God? Worry can't add a single moment to your life. All it's going to do is make your hair fall out. And there's people in here who look like they've been worrying. But it doesn't help us. It doesn't help anything. In fact, God wants us to stop worrying and start trusting. In Philippians 4:6, it says, don't worry about anything. Anything? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. What he is saying is the answer to worry, the answer to anxiety is don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. God is asking us to take every worry to him. And when we trust him with all our heart and we lean not on our own understanding, and when we acknowledge him in every area of our life, the Bible says that he will direct our path. He gives us answers. He leads us. J.C. Ryle says this, that half of our miseries are caused by the things we think are coming upon us. God wants us to trust him. God wants us to trust him. Our worries and our fears are crowding out the message, the word of God. And sometimes it's not just about worrying. Sometimes it's about having too much going on in life. Do you have too many things going on right now in your life? Is your life overcrowded? One of the things that I've been in IT for a long time before I became a pastor, and IT is geek term for, I was a computer guy. And one of the things that hackers do when they try to bring down a website, they'll try to bring down a website like Amazon, they'll try to bring down a website. What they do is they send what's called a denial of service attack. And what they do is they take these hack computers and they take a bunch of computers, an army of computers, and all these computers do is talk to one website. Thousands of them just talk to a website. They just poke the website. And the website actually has to respond to every single one of them. And so what happens is when this attack comes, it's denying this website the ability to respond to everyone else, because it's all it's doing is responding over and over and over and over and over again to this denial of service attack. And I believe that that's what the enemy is trying to do to Christians today. Is there is so much going on in life. There is so much in our feed that we're being hit with everything, everything, everything. And what it is doing, it is crowding out our life. It's crowding out our garden. There are weeds that are coming up and crowding out our soil, our heart. And we're overburdened. We've got too much going on. There's not enough margin, said the pot calling the kettle black. And so weeds can kill the seeds. And so how many good things in your life, and this is just an honest question, how many good things in your life are being crowded out? How many good things are being crowded out of your life? Do you know that God's word can be crowded out of your life? That what you're hearing today could go in your ears and out the other side if you don't let God slow us down a little bit. And so I had a conversation with my wife, Tabitha. She's an amazing woman. I've been married to her for over 20 years. And she's just an amazing woman. She does so much. She's an amazing wife. She's an amazing mother. She helps me with my job. She's a substitute teacher. She just started a business. And she's just doing an incredible amount of stuff. And we had this conversation that we were trying to figure out a way. She wanted to go to the gym. Oh, so we started to look at her day, and then we figured out that she could start going to the gym if she wakes up at 4:30 in the morning. And we're like, okay, you can get up at 4:30, you can go work out, and by 5:30 you're ready to be, and you can do this. And all of a sudden it was like God said, hello, don't add anything else here right now. You've got too much going on. And we try to be superheroes. We try to be all things to everyone all the time. And what we're doing is we are saying yes to so many things that we're saying no to God. And we're saying no to the most important relationships in our lives. Yes to everything and no to God. And God gets the leftovers. And sometimes we say yes to so many things that we're so used up, we're so worn out, that we're no good to even the things that we say yes to. That we're worn thin. And that type of garden is a mess. And weeds grow up and choke out life. And choke out life. That was one of the things that God talked to me about. He told me that I could gain the whole world and lose my soul. It's a scripture. I can gain the whole world and lose my soul. I can gain the whole world and lose my family. I don't want the whole world. I want God. I don't want the whole world. I want my family. I don't want the whole world. I want what God wants for me. I don't have to say yes to everything all the time because I get my approval from God. And so if I say no to you, realize that I love you. But I'm saying yes to God and yes to my family. And I think that's what God wants us to realize, is that our ground is overcrowded. There's too much going on. There's too much in our feed. And we don't have enough room for God. We don't have enough time to sit and read His Word, like really read His Word. Like study it. Like get it down in our heart. Instead, we get that 5 minutes in, all right, I got that checked off my list, I read my Bible, and now I got my, ooh, Lord Jesus, thank you for this day, and then we go, we're going to hit it, we're going to run, we're going to do it all, ooh, I got that, I'm multitasking, I'm getting it all done. No, you're not. You're a mess. You're not getting anything done. In fact, your soil is such a mess that nothing's growing, that the things that are growing is just weeds, and that's what we're talking about today. So weeds can suffocate us. They can suffocate us. And sometimes it's not just the things that we say yes to. Sometimes it's the things that we trust in. And sometimes we put our trust in things that let us down. Have you ever put your trust in a person and that person let you down? Have you ever put your trust in a job and that job let you down? Have you ever put your trust in the latest and greatest career? Man, this is it. And then that career lets you down. Sometimes we allow unmet needs in our life to look to things to please us. We'll look to a job or we'll look to a career and we'll give that everything we are. And we don't realize that we're sacrificing our faith and we're sacrificing our relationships on the altar of something that is counterfeit, something that is fake, something that doesn't give us joy and peace. So I don't know where you are today. I don't know if you're on the path. I don't know if you are shallow ground or if you've got a soft heart and you just want all of what God has for you. But no matter where you are today, God is the answer. No matter how hard your heart is, I want to tell you this, that God is able to soften your heart. That God has a way of showing you your heart. And if you would just be open to it, it will reveal yourself. I mean, we love reading the Bible. Sometimes we read the Bible and it says, ooh, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Hallelujah. That's an awesome scripture. Or we'll read another scripture that says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Woohoo! But sometimes the Bible will show you your own heart. And it might be ugly. And it may not look so good. And it might show you that you're trusting in money rather than God. Or you're trusting in people. And you're looking to people to fulfill a God-shaped hole in your life instead of looking to God to fulfill you and to change you. And so sometimes that word, if we let it, if we soften our heart to it, it will show us ourselves, but it's with grace. You see, the Bible says that he leads us to repentance because of his goodness. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. And what does that mean? That it's his grace and his mercy and his love that draws us to him. And it's his love that tells us. It takes somebody that loves you to tell you that something's wrong with you. It takes somebody that really loves you to say, you're jacked up. Am I right? And God's word will do that. God's word will dig you up. It will show you the ugliness of your heart. And sometimes God's word will ask you to give things up. Sometimes God's word will prune you and ask you to give things up. God did that to me just a couple weeks ago. There was something that I had for 13 years. It was part of me. It was who I was. And God said, give it to me. I said, wait a minute, God, that's mine. That's who I am. That's, you know, this is what I am. And God said, give it to me. And I'm like, well, okay, I'll give you a little bit, God. I'll give it up just a little bit. And God said, no, give it all to me. I said, okay, God, it's yours. And I just gave it up. And you know what? God gave me a peace that passes all understanding. God said, that wasn't you, Will. I have a purpose for your life. You've made room for me. You made room for me. You see, your life was too crowded. You were stretched thin. You were looking to this thing to identify you. You were looking to this thing to find approval. But I want that because I am your approval. I am your worth. I am everything you need. Do you have room for God in your life? Is your feed too full? God wants to nurture our soul today. God's word wants to penetrate the hard exterior of our heart. Will you let it? Would you stand with me this morning? God, we come to you this morning. God, we give it all back to you. There's so many areas of our heart, God, where we're looking to people and we're looking for approval We're just looking in all the wrong places. God, sometimes we just got too much going on in our life and we're overwhelmed. We don't have any peace because we're looking for the wrong things in the wrong place. But God, we come to you because you love us enough to tell us we're messed up. You love us enough to show us our own hearts, whether they be hard like the path or soft and open. But right now, God, we give you everything back. God, we want to trust you to fulfill us, that you're our portion. God, you're the gardener. And we want you to come in right now and break up any area of our heart that is crusty. God, break through that bedrock. Let your word penetrate deep down into our soul. Let it digest down into our heart. Change us, God. Make us fruitful. Help us to speak into each other's lives. Help us to disciple each other, to be hungry and thirsty for you, not for the things of this life that let us down. God, we honor you with our heart today. We honor you, God, by opening up our heart to receive your word, your right now word. Save us, God. Heal us, God. Save us from ourselves. We give it all back to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And we all said amen. Can we give God a hand this morning? Yeah. Oh. Oh, God's word is so good. Let it just seep down into your spirit. We want you to know that at the end of every service that we're going to have pastors and leaders down here at the front, and we want to pray with you today. We also want you to know that we offer baptism, and what a wonderful way to start a new life with him by burying your old self. God's word will heal you. And when we are buried with him in baptism, we get a new life with him. So we want you to know that that's available too. But if you need to go, go in the mighty name of Jesus. We will see you again here next week. God bless you.